Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church podcast. We pray that this message will help you in your walk with Christ. We are currently in the season of Lent. Our Lenten theme for this year is the prayers of Jesus. The title of Dr. Dorch's sermon for today is Set Them Apart. The big idea is that Jesus prays that God might sanctify his disciples in order that they be fit to carry on God's mission.
In these weeks before Easter, we're looking at the prayers of Jesus, and this morning we're going to look at a prayer that Jesus offered on behalf of his disciples. As you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse, where we hear these words of Jesus, words that come to us in fulfillment of God's covenant promises. Jesus prays, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them, and I kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. The other day, Judy and I were rummaging through an old antique shop. We were with another couple and we were looking around, and antiques are not really my thing, but on that day it was. I was spending time with my wife. And as we were moving through the antique store, there wasn't a lot that caught my eye, but one thing that did was a set of commemorative Coke bottles that were done back in the late 70s or early 80s. They were done to honor a legendary college football coach. Many of you are familiar with these commemorative Coke bottles. Some of you probably have one or two or maybe 10. As I saw those bottles, it reminded me of an early, how shall I put this, disagreement that I had with my wife. We were newlyweds, we were in seminary, we were poor as church mice. We did not have two nickels to rub together. We were living on love. And when these commemorative Coke bottles came out, my father, who was a proud graduate of the institution where this college football coach had earned his fame, my dad thought that I might like to have one of those commemorative Coke bottles, which I did. I was so proud to receive it, and when my dad gave it to me, I took the bottle and I placed it, I set it apart on the bookshelf in our seminary apartment. There by my seminary textbooks, those were the only two things that I owned to my name, really. The textbooks and the commemorative Coke bottle. I put it there to be displayed, to be admired, to reflect upon it, to feel pride over it, so you can imagine my shock and my dismay when one afternoon I came home from classes and noticed that while the bottle was still on the bookshelf, the contents of the bottle were empty. And I may have raised my voice a bit when I asked my wife for an explanation, and she may have raised hers a bit when she gave it to me. I was thirsty. There was a bottle of Coke. What part of that picture do you not understand? Now, clearly, we had a difference of perspectives. In my way of thinking, that bottle was meant to be set apart. It was meant to be displayed. It was meant to be admired. It wasn't meant to be consumed. But from my wife's point of view, what good is anything when there is a pressing need for which something, even something set apart, has been created? And the more I've thought about it over the years, I don't know where you come down on that matter, but the more I think about it, the more I'm certain that Jesus would agree with Judy. Because while there are some things that are intended to be different and special and set apart, there are also things that are intended to make a difference and to meet a need. And especially when there is a need for which that thing that is special and set apart has been created to address. Jesus would agree with Judy. I say that because of this passage that's before us this morning from John's Gospel. It is part of the high priestly prayer of Jesus. You'll remember that last Sunday, we looked at that part of the prayer where Jesus is praying for himself, but he's not praying for himself in a selfish way. He's praying that God will honor the sacrifice that Jesus is about to make in going to the cross, in pouring out his life for the salvation of the world. Jesus prays that God will honor what he is about to do so that people will be drawn to God and find life, abundant life, everlasting life through Jesus, whom God has sent into this world. And the passage of scripture that I've read for you this morning, Jesus is praying for his disciples. He's praying for three things. He's praying for their unity. He's praying that the disciples, in the midst of what surely was a hostile, unwelcoming, unbelieving world, that the disciples would find a way to stay together, to be one with one another, in the same way that Jesus was one with the Father. Make them one. He prays, secondly, for their protection. He prays that God will watch over them and keep them in the power of his name, Jesus says. His authority, the same name that protected Jesus as Jesus went about doing these miraculous deeds that pointed people in the direction of God. And he prays for their purity. He prays for their sanctity. He prays that they will be set apart in order to challenge the world in a way that will enable everyone to understand the difference that God's love and his mercy and his grace and his truth in Jesus Christ might make. Jesus prays that they will be set apart in order to serve God's kingdom interest in the same way that God sent Jesus to do. Sanctify them is what Jesus prays. Set them apart. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And for them, I sanctify myself. By that, Jesus is speaking about his impending death. For them, I am pouring my own life out so that they too may be set apart to serve. There's a lot going on in this prayer. The one clue in what may seem to be a disjointed puzzle to many as you try to follow the logic of Jesus' prayer. Remember, this is not a systematically theological passage. This is the reflections. These are the reflections of God's Son as he pours out his heart, as he is moving toward dark Gethsemane. If there is a clue that holds this puzzling, seemingly disjointed prayer together, it is the fact that the world that is about to claim Christ's life is a world that, though God loves, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that though God loves the world, it is nonetheless a world that is shrouded in darkness. A world that is shrouded in darkness. And it will only be illumined by the light that Jesus is about to shine through his death on the cross. And the light that will continue to shine through those who belong to Jesus. That is the clue that helps us to understand this prayer and to live into this prayer. One thing is crystal clear about what Jesus is saying. We who call ourselves followers of Jesus, we who belong to Jesus cannot blend in with this world that is shrouded in darkness. What Jesus is praying to God for his disciples to see is that they are different than those who are in the world. They are not of the world any more than he is of the world. They are, to use the language of 1 Peter, a peculiar people, and their peculiarity is their greatest strength. On one hand, they're different. They're distinct. They're not ordinary. And because they are different and distinct, they will be able to make a difference, to shine the light of God's love in Jesus Christ upon this dark world. They will challenge the world. They will challenge the world by the light and life of the good news of Jesus Christ in such a way that people will see the difference that his followers make through the manner in which they live with such fullness and such abundance. They are not set apart simply to be viewed or even admired. They are instead set apart in order to challenge the powers and principalities, and by so doing, turn this world into the world that God, in fact, created it to be at the very beginning. So Jesus prays, keep them together, God, keep them together, make them one. It's going to be difficult for them when I leave. I'm not going to be staying in this world. I'm coming to you. Jesus knew that his hour, the hour of his crucifixion, was fast approaching. Father, keep them together. They'll need one another as they challenge the world. Protect them. Jesus, in this prayer, does not say, preserve them. He doesn't say, set them apart to keep them safe. He's certainly not praying that his disciples be spared the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, to be kept from life's trials and tribulations. No. No, he prays for their purification so that in fact they will experience God's power and God's presence in a way that will keep them from the evil one and enable them in the process to carry on the mission, the ministry, the work that God sent Jesus to do. As I was thinking this week about this expectation that Jesus' disciples carry on his work, carry on his ministry, carry on his mission, and all of the challenges and the obstacles and the hurdles that we confront in the course of trying to live in to that high and holy calling. It suddenly dawned on me. It was about a year ago that we were holding our last, in air quotes, normal service. About a year ago today, without masks, without physical distancing, the pandemic had actually already made its way into our country, and public health officials were warning us about it, but the warning did not come, in my estimation, in time for us to cancel services on that Sunday. And truth be told, I thought we might be dealing with something for a couple of weeks, maybe a month. Little did I know we're still dealing with it. And though there have been so many challenges and hurdles and obstacles, there's been a lot of experience that we're better for having gone through, a lot of lessons that we have learned, a lot of new terminology. For example, the word essential worker. You know, that's a word we didn't use in everyday discourse, but now all of a sudden we hear ourselves referring to essential workers and the notion of social distancing. Only the introverts among us ever really gave consideration to social distancing. The rest of us, the more the merrier. And having to negotiate that in the church has been a real challenge. And PPE, you know, these acronyms, personal protective equipment. You'll remember how in the initial stages of the pandemic, the nation's supply of PPE was exhausted relatively quickly. And it wasn't because that equipment didn't exist, it's just that no one ever fathomed that the demand would be so great that it would exhaust the supply so quickly. You know, we heard stories of healthcare providers who were improvising and doing what was necessary in order to either extend the time that their mask would still protect them, or people who were finding other ways to protect themselves. Many of us did the same sort of thing until there could be more available. But what I began to think, what was the alternative? I mean, do you just take what you have and set it on a shelf when there is such a great need, even though you know that you don't have enough of that resource to go around? The decision is, do you save it? Do you shelve it? Or do you use it? We're seeing the same thing with vaccines now, particularly with those vaccines that require two dosages. There was a decision made relatively recently that no, we're going to go ahead and we're going to use what we have until more will become available. And as I was thinking about this reality and all that has taken place, and pondering it in the context of this prayer where Jesus is praying for the unity of his disciples and for their protection, he's praying that God will work in their midst so that God may provide them with what is necessary, knowing that they are in the world. Jesus prays that God will give them whatever is required for them to continue to carry out the ministry that he has been doing but will no longer be doing because of how it will culminate at the cross. I'll not remain in the world, but I'm not taking them out of the world. So set them apart with your truth that they might continue to be about this ministry of light and life and grace and peace. brothers and sisters, that is our mission. We're followers of Jesus. And this is our time. This is our time. This world that is shrouded in darkness is in need of a light that only people who belong to Jesus can give. So let's go forth to be gracious and generous. Let's go forth into this at times exceedingly hostile world to be loving and to be merciful. Let us go into this world that too often doesn't know, doesn't have a clue as to what really matters. Let us go forth to astound them with the life that Jesus has given us. As we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after Jesus. We're not set apart to be displayed. We're set apart to serve and to pour our lives out, even as did Jesus. So, what part of that picture do you not understand? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are indeed grateful for the faithfulness of Jesus, who shirked not the way of pain and suffering, but did so in order to fulfill your redemptive purposes. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, to give his life as a ransom for us. Help us then to be willing to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to pour out ourselves, meeting whatever needs you might grant us the privilege of meeting. In the name of Jesus, this we pray for our sakes and for his. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.